morning and welcome to LMS Radio. My name is Gina and I'm pleased to say we have with us Ikwo from Lagos in Nigeria. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you, Gina.
That's good. So what has been happening?
Well, nothing much. Just that for some time I've not been able to come into the show, maybe due to one reason or the other.
Okay, so it's good to have you back today. So what would you like to talk about?
Today I'd like to talk about migration, because here in Nigeria, that's what in thing now, and in African countries too.
Okay, sorry about that. Play the music. When shouldn't that happen? Anyway, you said you want to talk about immigration. Is that right?
Yes.
So is immigration or migration?
My moving from one place to another, human migration.
Okay, please go ahead then.
All right, thank you, Gina. Why I chose this topic is because for some time now, in most African countries, especially in Nigeria, people have been migrating from Nigeria to other countries, especially developed countries. And one will ask why. And I think largely is due to the fact that most people want to further their education or get a better place for the future, or trying to make ends meet, which is the largest factor, I think, why people migrate from one place to the other, especially external migration.
Okay, then. Can you elaborate more?
Okay. When I say especially external migration, you know, when we say external, meaning moving from one state within the country to another, or moving from one maybe city to another. But this time around, I would like to talk about the external migration, where you have people leaving their states, leaving their countries and continents to another continent differently, or from what they know or from their vicinity. And then you ask, just as I said earlier, why will humans like to move away from their home of abode, their best place, the society and culture that they know of and they are used to other places? And that's largely because of maybe they want to get a better skill, they want to acquire a better skill, or due to educational, they want to improve their education, their knowledge, aspire higher in their education, or due to innovation, they want to know better, maybe in terms of technology, they want to be more aware of things that are happening in developed countries that they can't access in their country, especially in here in Africa. It's the same thing here in Nigeria now. And I'm sure over there you're receiving so many people, influx of Africans into UK. Am I right?
Yeah, you are right. What you didn't talk about is climate change, the environment. You know that there's a lot of people who are moving because of the drought. As you're seeing this, the flooding that's in India. Have you seen this? And how so many?
Yes.
I don't know. It's not India. Sorry, it's Pakistan.
Pakistan. Okay.
Yeah, that's right. And you have seen the. You must be aware of it on television and not on the news. How that country, the climate has changed definitely something is called the Amino effect, and how the world is changing. And do you have this Amino effect where you are, where sometimes it gets very hot, and sometimes, you know, there's a very extreme rain that you have. Do you have any of this new of climate change?
Yes, here in Nigeria, Lagos, Ogun State in particular, or even the north too. Early this year, during the rainy season, from the month of March up till now, it's still raining. We've been having flooding in so many areas that will sweep houses. When I say sweep, I mean cover the houses, render people homeless. It uproots trees, you know, a whole community, just like what happened in Pakistan, happened here in Nigeria also. And people were forced to move from their states, from their communities, looking for where to have shelter, a roof over their head due to this climate and environmental changes.
So this must have some kind of an effect on the economy. What has it actually done for the states and the economy in these areas?
Yes, I'll take the north for an example, because largely most of the farm produce comes from the north, because they are known for farming, large-scale commercial farming. Real commercial farming. So when this drought happens, or when it happened early this year, the country was thrown into hardship, where we have less food crops being destroyed due to excessive flooding. They couldn't harvest, they couldn't even go into the areas to harvest the already matured crops. So this really affected the economy of Nigeria. So we have low food being exported into other states, because most of these crops are being exported to other states. So it really affected the economy negatively.
Right. So does the government help?
Yes, to some extent. For now, or as at that time, the first and important thing was to move the citizens out of the flooded areas to find a shelter for them and basic needs. So you find them going to shelter homes and refuge camps. So that was the main thing, and relief materials being sent in from other states to help them.
I see.
So, you know, at first you have to save life before thinking of food crops or farmlands.
Could you say how many people? How many people did this affect?
So much that, like, you know, it's a whole community and in different states.
Oh, I see. So it was state from state to state.
Like I say, yes.
My goodness.
Like what happened here, I wish I can send you some pictures of what happened here in Ogun State where I am. I still have some of the pictures, flooded areas where the people had to evacuate their residents, because they couldn't gain access to it.
Right, the same thing happened. Okay, I'll just speak. The same thing happened here in the UK about 10 years ago. Well, one part of the UK that was, it was a place called Oxford, and it was in the western part of the UK. There was flooding, and the houses, massive rain. And it turned out it had something to do with the houses were being built very near the sea, and there was erosion, and there was flooding. They flooded one part of the country, which was in I think it was in Cornwall. Then from Cornwall, it moved to Oxford, and you had houses that were under the flooded, under the rain, and you had people going and paddling. They actually had a boat where you would see them going rowing on that boat from one end to one end.
Same here. But the difference, you said that happened 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Here in Nigeria is a yearly occurrence. Very yearly. It comes in every year due to poor drainage system.
I see. Mm-hmm. Do any of the people live near the sea, the seaside?
Canals in particular.
Right, I see. Because it has something to do with the river, doesn't it? The river.
Not really here in Nigeria. Poor drainage is our major problem over here. We don't have drainage systems.
I see. Right.
So when the rain comes, everywhere is flooded.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's nowhere to the flood into.
I see. Okay, Equal, we'll just take a short break. Is that all right with you?
It's okay.
Okay. I also sent you something on the phone. Have you seen the message I have sent to you? Thank you,
Equal. I'll do that
now. Okay. Okay, Equal, we'll just have a short break right now. If I can just see that, can have just do it. Oh, where am I? I've got the music down there. So, Equal, we're just going to take a short break right now. Is that okay?
Okay.
All right.
Right here.
Okay, then we just had a short break. Well, continue please with what you were saying.
Okay, so as I was saying, here in Nigeria, the flooding mostly is due to bad drainage system. And here you have people throwing their garbage refugees into the drainage system, the ones that are available. So this really causes a lot of pollution and blockages.
Do they throw things in the street?
Yes. Environmental hazard, yes. Mm-hmm. And the governments been on this for a long time, because discarding waste here is a big problem. Also, we don't have a good waste disposal method.
Right, so you have a dustman, you have dustbin people.
Yes, but they don't come into every nook and cranny.
So when do they come?
Well, you find them mostly in the cities, well arranged, well organized over there, but in some local areas, the rural areas, you don't find them. So discarding waste is a problem. So they throw this into gutters and the canals.
I see. Do you have any dustbin in your area?
Some people do, but when the dustbin is full, what happens?
Do you have any refuge collectors?
That's what I'm saying, yes, but they don't come as at when due.
So where do you dispose of your rubbish then?
Some people throw theirs into the river, some throw theirs into the gutter, some throw theirs into the canals, and some burn theirs. Like we burn ours.
So you burn all your rubbish. You burn all your any rubbish. You just burn it.
Yes.
So where do you burn it? Do you have a garden or do you burn it outside your house?
At the backyard.
Right.
You dig a hole, put the rubbish there and burn.
My goodness. So is this common in your area?
That's what most people do in the rural areas.
My goodness. So there's a lot of ash in your backyard.
I won't say ash really, because you dig a pit, throw the rubbish in there, and you can have a near perfect thing during the dry season, but during the rainy season, it's difficult to burn.
Right, you agree with me. Okay then. My goodness. This is quite new. I didn't know that you didn't have any rubbish collector. My goodness.
This is Africa.
Yeah, so how many days do you do it? Do you do it once a week? Twice a week?
As often as possible, depending on the garbage or the refuge you have to dispose of.
So is it just you who do it, or does you and your sons do it together?
Anybody can do it. At times, maybe if we have, maybe it's just things that are easily consumed by fire, you can just, as you're going to trash it, you burn it at once. You don't have to wait.
So what exactly do you burn? Do you burn paper bags? Because it's very
hard. Paper bags, nylons.
My goodness.
Old clothes.
Old clothes? So there's a large smoke that comes out.
At times, depending on what you're burning, if you have plastic, lots of plastics in it.
Okay. So when you do the burning, do you have water? You splash water on it to get rid of the smoke?
No, you want the fire to consume, so why quench it?
Oh, I see. Because, you know, it can slightly go out of control. The fire can just burn, and it can go up.
We're always around with maybe a bucket of water in case if it wants to, but usually it doesn't. It's just the neighbors that complain about the smoke. So mostly we do that in the day, during the daytime, not at night.
Okay.
So that it doesn't disturb the sleep or go into the houses.
Okay. Do you have something like a curfew, like Saturday or Sunday, not allowed to do any burning?
No, nothing of such.
Okay, it's here in the UK, it's here in Europe. When Saturday and Sunday, we're not allowed to do any knocking, any building work. So we have things like that.
Oh, no. Every day is a free day here.
Yeah, I mean, we can do burning, but certain days we're not allowed to do certain things. That's all. Yeah, that's what happens in the UK. Right, so you're talking about this. You know, I had no idea that you didn't have a rubbish collector. So in the places like Lagos, Ibadan, you have the refuge collectors. But where you are in the rural state, there's none of it.
There are, but they don't come in as that when you want them. You know, at times they come in once or twice in a month. Before now, they do come in weekly. But I don't know, maybe they don't have enough vehicles, or their vehicles are not in proper condition, so they don't come in all the time. So when you have your dustbins overflowing, you have to discard them.
Who is paying for them? Is it you or, I mean, the household? Who pays for them, these people?
The household. Every compound, every family that has a dustbin outside must pay for their refuge for the refuge to be picked up.
How do you pay for it? Is there a municipal council?
No, you pay to the refuge as they come in. You pay monthly.
So how do
to
you
the truck?
How do you do this? You pay it to the refuge per people directly.
Yes.
So they go from house to house collecting money and collecting your refuge. Is that right?
Yes, that's exactly what happens.
I see. Well, here in the UK and Europe, everything is paid for to the council, and the councillor rates for the refuse collector who come once a week and they collect all the things. Where it's completely different. Here, you do not pay the refuse collectors to come. You pay the council pays them, and they visit your home and they take out the rubbish. And this is once every week.
You know, mostly here in Nigeria or in Ogun State where I am, the refuse collectors are at times privately owned, not owned by the government. But in Lagos, it's owned by the government, and you have some private companies running it.
Oh, I see. So yours is independently owned by a private company. Oh, I see. So yours is independently owned by a private company.
Yes, it is. So
Oh,
you
I
pay to
see.
them
So is this private?
directly.
Okay. Is this private company linked to the government, or is just somebody set up the company themselves?
Fully private, being set up by individuals or let me say partnership.
Okay, I see. Right. So that's entrepreneurial, isn't it? I see. So that's very
Yes,
interesting.
it's a form of
It's
it's a
interesting.
business
So the people are making money.
over here. It's a form of business over here.
I see. So it's a form, another form of making money. How long?
Yes, they
Okay, can you please go on then?
yes, they are partly, but I think the governments do not want most of these people to run this private refuge company because they don't dispose of it properly and it causes environmental pollution.
Right, so where do you think that they dispose of it? Because there's sometimes on the news they will show that in West Africa things companies just dump things in a dump yard, and little boys and girls they go to the dump yard and they pick all the rubbish there, and they get some kind of infection that there is a dumping ground. Have you seen that?
Yes, those are the scavengers that are everywhere here in Nigeria, where they go to all these dumping sites being dumped by the private refuse collectors company. They go to pick plastics, metals, and go for take them to recycling companies to get money.
I see, right, yes. So everything is dumped there, refrigerators, microwaves, ovens. I have seen that one. But it does hazard
You can just
corrosion
name
on the
it.
soil.
So the scavengers go in, get as many things as they want, things they know that they can sell off to the recycling companies.
A lot of
And
these
the government
scavengers,
runs their
which you're
place.
talking about, many of them are schoolboys, schoolgirls. Are there any adults who are doing this?
I'll say mixed because everybody's looking for a source of livelihood, but mostly you find them to be youths from the north, the northerners, the houses.
Oh, I see. So it's mainly houses who are doing all this.
Yes, majorly the youths among them.
Why do they do it? Is it poverty and unemployment that they're more likely to be involved in it?
Poverty, unemployment led to I think it's unemployment and poverty,
So
everything
do the
together.
houses have it more than other ethnic groups?
I'll say yes, because you have them more being beggars. You find them on the streets begging in their large numbers.
So how does the population treat them?
You mean the society?
Yes.
It's a matter of choice. If you can help, it's optional. It's a matter of choice.
Okay, what about the
Some
government?
people give them.
Okay,
Go
please
on.
continue
Okay,
then.
please continue then. All right. So some people give them food, some clothing, some money. So it's a personal decision.
Right. Okay. What about the government has just seen that one particular ethnic group is facing deprivation? How is the government helping the houses?
They have many a times tried to take them off the streets to rehabilitate or give them shelter, but you find them coming back to the streets because I think it's a sort of, do I say profession or a source of livelihood for them. You find them mostly on all the streets, not just in Lagos, but in all the states.
Is this to do something called intergenerational background? The grandmother, the father, the grandfather, so it's used to what they are doing. It's like some kind of a culture that they've been used to in which you cannot take it away from them.
I won't completely agree with that. I think majorly the fact is that some of them were born on the streets, so they have nowhere to go to.
Right, so it's some kind of intergenerational. It means that they've learnt it from the grandfather, father. So the son has adapted to this kind of way of life.
Sweet. Because really they have nowhere to go. They're just like street children.
Okay. So is it mainly boys that you tend to see peddling in the street?
No. Of different ages, as old as grandpas, okay. Great-grandpas.
Okay, so it is an intergenerational thing then.
Yeah, with their babies, you find infants among them. You see, they have this, and they keep reprocreating almost every day. They give birth on the streets every day, and you see them with babies, infants.
So that's not quite nice. They're actually doing this on the street in front of public view.
Not public view. When I say on the street, that means every day on daily basis, you see that they have little infants coming into the world. Yes, coming into the world. Yes.
Okay, so it means the poverty affects the houses slightly more then, is that right?
I will agree with that.
Okay then. Okay, thank you. Well, I'll just take a short break. Is that all right with you now?
Okay, let's go.
Okay, just a short break now. Ikwa, how are things with you exactly? Because it's been quite long trying to connect with you.
Yes, I won't say it's been easy. It's not been that easy because I work in Lagos and I live in Ogun State. So trying to find my way down to Lagos on a daily basis. It's not easy.
Yes, well, it's been great talking to you, Wikwo. Oh, Wikwo, please, can you mention at our listeners?
All right. It's been nice having all our listeners on the show every day or all the time that we are on, listening to our show from UK, from Switzerland, Nigeria, I can't forget that, India, which other country?
Okay, then I'll mention it. Many thanks to listeners from, as you said, the UK, India, Iran, Iraq, New York, Georgia, Illinois, Michigan, California, Oregon, Ohio, Japan, Spain, I'm trying to remember myself. Anyway, thank you so much for listening, and thank you. It's very, very nice of all of these people who've been listening continuously and downloading. And we did, in August, LMS Radio did is on YouTube promotion, and we have got, I'm proud to say, 235,000 views from our YouTube promotion.
Interesting.
Absolutely. But this is what I was trying to tell you, Ikwa, because I know you're quite busy. So we are now on YouTube promoting ourselves. So that was something very interesting, which I counted yesterday. We had 235,000 views on YouTube, which is incredible.
Interesting.
Yes. And we are also, as you very well know, on Sonos and Bose speakers. We are on Google, iHeartRadio, Samsung devices, Samsung Galaxy, Samsung Watch as well. We're also on podium.com, Player FM, and TuneIn Radio. And I'm also proud to say we are also on patreon.com. Now, this is a new LMS Radio sponsor, or anybody can sponsor us. Anybody can support us. So it's called patreon.com. You click for creator, type in LMS Radio, and you'll be able to read about the radio station. Now we are also in 41 countries. Equal. That's incredible.
Interesting.
Absolutely. The listenership is growing. We're having more listeners, more people downloading. And I'm proud to say, you know, we've only been around now for about nearly 1 year, nearly, but we are succeeding. Anyway, thank you so much. Because anything else you'd like to say?
Maybe till some other time.
Say thank what you so would much, like Gina. To say, please, Equal.
Just a big thank you to all our fans, and let them keep listening. And to LMS Show, I say great heights and more feathers.
Equal, how have you enjoyed yourself being a presenter on this show?
Well, to me, I have been enjoying each show, each moment I have to speak. And I wish I can do more. And it's an eye-opener, really, getting to know that people like the show and listen to it. And I'm sure they're gaining one or two things from it.
Thank you so much, Equal. Well, thank you very much to our listeners. So I will bid you farewell from me here in England and Equal in Nigeria. Can you say bye bye, Equal?
Bye.
Thank you very much, Equal. Bye bye from Gina here. Okay, see you next time, Equal. Bye bye.